So I wanted to do things a little bit different this morning. As we've been going through this series of Galatians, you know, there were just, I guess there's just been a few things that have just been on my heart that I wanted to share with you. We started this series and I preached on Galatians 1, 4 weeks ago, unsurprisingly, as we're now on Galatians 5. And do you know what? Galatians as a book is all about freedom. And it's all about freedom from slavery, freedom from sin. And you know that Jesus sets us free. You know, throughout Galatians 5, and we're going to be reading it in a minute, there are lots of passages that refer to slavery. You know, in the culture at the time, slavery was a common thing. So when people talked about slavery, they had a very real example, probably in their town, of what slavery actually meant, about being owned by someone and being used to do stuff for them as a slave. A little bit different to kind of the connotations we have of slavery in the 21st century. And I think it's important that we understand, actually, that slavery, what that means, what it means to be a slave and what it means to be freed from slavery into freedom. And I want to start by reading Galatians 5 to you. And it's quite a long passage, but I want to read it. And I want to read it to you from the Passion Translation. And as I was reading, Galatians 5, just the way that this describes it just really stood out to me. And it says this, it says, "Let me be clear, the Anointed One has set us free. Not partially, but completely and wonderfully free. We must always cherish the truth and stubbornly refuse to go back into the bondage of our past. I write to you as your apostolic father. If you think there is benefit in circumcision and Jewish regulation to make you holy, then you're acting as though Jesus, the Anointed One, is not enough. I say it again emphatically. Anyone who believes that circumcision brings them closer to God is obliged to fulfill every single one of the commandments and regulations of the law." You know, there was over 600 regulations that the Jews had to follow. And Paul says, if you're gonna say that you've got to follow one of them, when he's talking about circumcision, he says, well, you're going to have to follow them all. If you want to be made holy by fulfilling the obligations of the law, you have cut off more than your flesh. You have cut yourselves off from the Anointed One and have fallen away from the revelation of grace. Lots of circumcision references there in case you missed it. You've cut off more than your flesh. But the Holy Spirit convinces us that we have received by faith the glorious righteousness of the Anointed One. When you're placed into the Anointed One and joined with to him, circumcision and religious obligations can benefit you nothing. All that matters now is living in the faith that is activated and brought to perfection by love. Before you were led astray, you were so faithful to Messiah. Why have you now turned away from what is right and true? Who has deceived you? The one who enfolded you into his grace is not behind this false teaching that you have embraced. Not at all. Don't you know that even when you allow a little lie into your heart, it can permeate your entire belief system? Deep in my heart, I have faith that the Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, who lives in you, will bring you back around to the truth. And I'm convinced that those who agitate you, whoever they think they are, will be brought under God's judgment. Dear friends, why do you think that the religious system persecutes me? Is it because I preach the message of being circumcised and keeping all the laws in Judaism? Not at all. Is there no longer any offense over the cross? To tell you the truth, I am so disgusted with all your agitators who are obsessed with cutting. Again, another foreskin reference there for you. I wish they would go even further and cut off their legalistic influence from your lives. You know, the actual word it uses there is, I wish they'd go one step further and castrate themselves. The guy is so frustrated by these Jews turned Christians that are going to the Galatians, to the people in that area, and saying, you've still got to abide by these laws. You've still got to abide by the law of circumcision. He's so cross that he says, I just wish they'd castrate themselves from you completely. I don't want them to have anything to do with you, because that little bit of a lie that they're bringing to you is enough that it will corrupt the whole of your belief system. Wow. Beloved ones, God has called us to live a life of freedom in the Holy Spirit. But don't view this wonderful freedom as an opportunity to set up a base of operations in the natural realm. Freedom means that we become so completely free of self-indulgence that we become servants of one another, expressing love in all we do. I'm going to come back to that in a few minutes and read a little bit more for you. You know, the whole first part of what we've just read is about freedom from rules and freedom from regulations. And as Paul talks about this one example that is used throughout Galatians, we heard it in Galatians 1, this idea that Jewish people were saying that circumcision was still an essential part of salvation. And we heard it in when Lee came and spoke on Galatians 2, and Math talked about it because it's in Galatians 3. You know, this issue is throughout the whole of Galatians, this fundamental issue that as we allow things that are not the truth of the simple gospel of Jesus Christ, as we allow those things to be placed within us, and we hold on to those things, those rules, those regulations, that it stops us from having the relationship with Jesus that he designed for us. So what are we slaves to? Fortunately, we don't have to worry about that one particular rule and regulation that Paul is referring to. But there are other things that we're slaves to. We're slaves to our culture. You know, if I've been around to your Connect group, we've been talking about culture and what it means to be a Christian in 2019. You know, we're slaves to our culture. Maybe we're slaves to fashion. Maybe we're slaves to things that people tell us that we should be wearing, or things that we should be doing, or places that we should be going. We're slaves to our own desires. Maybe we're slaves to addictions. We can be slaves to all manner of different things. Maybe for those of us who have been a Christian a long time, we're slaves to the way that we were told things should be. I don't know about you, but the church I grew up in is very different to the church that we're sat in now. And we believe in the same Jesus. But the traditions and the culture of that church are very different to the culture of the church that we're in now. In fact, I think to some degree, I have to check myself every now and again and make sure that some of the things that I believe as an adult, as a Christian, are they biblical, or are they things that I picked up throughout my life of being a Christian? That maybe, you know, I heard another Christian say it to me, and maybe I just took that as the gospel truth. And every now and again, it's good to stop and go, well, is that true? Is that the truth of this gospel? Or is that a tradition? I became a Christian in 1988, which seems like a very long time ago. And culture in 1988 was very different to culture in 2019. And as we go through what I'm going to tell you today, there's something that's been on my heart for probably the last few months, and I kind of debated on whether to do this morning, and then Jane came to me and shared something with me at the start of this service. So I just want to share something with you. You see, as a Christian growing up in the 80s, worship was very different than it is today. I don't know if anyone else grew up in it. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. No longer to be subject to a yoke of slavery. Now we're rejoicing in God's faith. Our hearts responding to his love. Does anyone else remember that song? Yeah. You know, do you know, out of all... I would say out of all of the worship songs that we sing in church, and I love the worship songs that we sung this morning, that is the song that stuck in my heart. From, I'm guessing it came out in the 80s. I know that in the early 90s, as I kind of grew up in church, that was a song we sang regularly. And I think by the time it got to the... So by the time I went to uni in the late 90s, I think we'd probably sung it every week for about 10 years. And it says, it was for freedom that Christ has set us free, no longer to be subject to a yoke of slavery. Now we're rejoicing in God's victory. Our hearts responding to his love. And that goes, Jesus, we celebrate your victory. But that line, it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. That's the song that plays in my mind when I'm having a bad day. It's the song that comes to me when I'm struggling in my spirit and I want to encourage myself. In fact, probably about a year ago, I'd forgotten how to play the song. And a year ago, I sat on my guitar and I taught myself how to play it again as a way of encouraging myself in my own walk with God. But for me, the words of that song, it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. No longer to be subject. We don't talk about necessarily those words so much. A yoke of slavery. You know, the Bible talks about our yoke being heavy, our burden being heavy, and that Jesus comes and he takes that burden from us and he removes that yoke from us. The harness that an animal would have worn as it plowed the field, as it pulled something behind it. That's lots of specific words, things and something, but you know what I'm on about. You know, that analogy, that word of that song, that if our burden is heavy, that Jesus Christ takes away that burden, that he lightens our spirit, and that he gives us freedom. And for me, when I think of freedom, I think of this song. Before you met Jesus, what were you a slave to? Are you no longer a slave to the things that you used to be a slave to? Or do those things still, are they still hard to deal with? I became a Christian at 8 years old. So I'm not sure that I had a particularly... sordid past of things that I did before I got saved. But I tell you what, for the first 10 years of being a Christian, I wasn't a very good one. I accepted Jesus and I made a lot of mistakes. And I thank you, I thank Jesus that I'm not the person I was when I was a teenager. I thank you that Jesus has set me free from the burden of the sin that I had as I grew up. I thank Jesus that he has made me into something that is better than what I was before, not because of anything of me, but because of who Jesus is. And that's what freedom is to me. Freedom from the things that used to hold me back. Freedom from the things that used to stop me having the relationship with Jesus that he wants to have with me. Jesus sets us free from the slavery of the law. He brought freedom by releasing us from the burdens of those rules and those regulations. You know, we sang a song this morning that says, whom the Son sets free. Oh, he's free indeed. I'm a child of God.
sun sets free. Oh, he's free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
You sing along with me.
The sun sets free. Oh, he's free. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
From the sun.
From the sun sets free. Oh, he's free indeed. I'm a child.
Yeah, it's very easy to sing those words this morning and not really take to heart what God is actually saying to us. Whom the sun sets free. Oh, he's free indeed. We're a child of God. The words of that song are talking about freedom from slavery. They're talking about freedom from sin. Freedom from our old life, from our old way of doing things. And freedom in a Jesus who loves us so much that he wants to help us put aside all of that mess, all of the stuff that we used to be a slave to. He wants to free us from tradition. He wants to free us from laws. I'm so grateful that I don't grow up having to make sacrifices every time I do stuff wrong. I'm so grateful that I can turn to God and I can ask him to forgive me. As I was preparing this, you know, I sat down and Grace was asking me what I was talking about today. And it gave me an opportunity to explain what it means to be free from the old law. And to explain to an 8-year-old, actually, that, you know, before Jesus was crucified, that we couldn't just talk to him. That if we wanted to speak to God, that we would have to go to the priests into the temple and we'd have to ask them to go through the curtain into the Holy of Holies. Because we couldn't have that direct relationship with God. And trying to explain that to an 8-year-old who has grown up in church and has grown up at bedtime saying, Lord God, please will you help me with, and saying, do you know what, this is why Jesus died. And to tell her that as Jesus died, that curtain was torn. And that barrier that stopped us from having a personal relationship with God was demolished by Jesus. This is the freedom that Paul is talking about. It goes on in that passage and it says, if you let yourself be circumcised, Christ will be of no value at all. If we get so caught up in the old laws, then we reject the importance of the cross. And we don't value the sacrifice that Jesus made when he died on that cross. Because if we still feel like we have to fulfill the old law, then what we're saying is that Christ dying was not enough for me. That I need more than that. I don't know what stops you from having that faith in God. I don't know what derails you. Because Paul says that when he's talking to the Galatians, he says, your faith was great. And what was it that came along and derailed you? What was it that stopped you and set you back? And church, I want to ask you that question this morning. What was it that set you back? What derails your faith? Are we slaves to the world's standard? Are we slaves to the world's way of doing things? Are we slaves to our own mindset? Are we slaves to the things that we have in our mind that we grew up being taught? Are we slaves to our own standards? Do we hold ourselves so highly that Jesus says, I forgive you, and you don't forgive yourself? What is it that derails you? You know, we sing another song at church. We sing a song that says, Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. Everything I need is in you, Lord. Everything I need.
Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough.
Sometimes it's good to be reminded of, again, of the words of this song. When we sing that song, Christ is enough. When we sing, Christ is enough for me, everything I need is in you. Do we really believe it? Do we set everything we have in Christ? Or do we go, Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. But I'm going to rely on my own strength today because I don't want to do things the way that God wants me to do things. Do we believe that Christ is enough? Because Galatians 5 says Christ is enough. And in fact, it says that if there's anything else that you put instead of Christ, then what's the point of having Christ? Go back to following all the rules. Christ is enough for me. Everything I need is in him. You know that salvation through Jesus is all that we need. It says, not through works, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Anyone who tells you that there are other requirements for salvation is mistaken. It's very easy to, I think I talked about this when we first started Galatians 1. It's very easy to set aside other things that we feel are a necessity for salvation. And Jesus says himself, I am enough for you. You don't need anything but me. That's good news. That is really good news. So he goes on in Galatians and he says this, beloved ones, God has called us to live a life of freedom in the Holy Spirit. But don't view this wonderful freedom as an opportunity to set up a base of operations in the natural realm. Freedom means that we become so completely free of self-indulgence that we become servants of one another, expressing love in all we do. For love completes the law of God, and the law can be summarized in one grand statement. Demonstrate love to your neighbor, even as you care for and love yourself. But if you continue to criticize and come against each other over minor issues, you're acting like wild beasts trying to destroy one another. As you yield freely and fully to the dynamic life and power of the Holy Spirit, you will abandon the cravings of your self-life. For your self-life craves the things that offend the Holy Spirit and hinder him from living free within you. And the Holy Spirit's intense cravings hinder your old self-life from dominating you. The Holy Spirit is the only one who defeats the cravings of your natural life. So then the two incompatible and conflicting forces within you are your self-life of the flesh and the new creation life of the Spirit. But when you're brought into the full freedom of the Spirit of grace, you will no longer be living under the dominion, under the domination of the law, but soaring above it. The next little bit, I want to bring a challenge to you, because what he does is he goes through and he lists a load of stuff that we shouldn't do. And I was reading it in the NIV, and it's interesting that I think sometimes because of the words of the Bible, the wording, the language used in the Bible, it can be quite easy to disconnect ourselves from what the Bible's saying. So in Galatians 5, when it talks about the things that we shouldn't do, it says this: the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies. I don't know about you, but sometimes reading it in that kind of language, it's very easy to go, well, I'm all right, I don't do any of that stuff. Because I think sometimes those words can disconnect from our own mind and how we perceive ourselves. And one of the reasons that I wanted to read from the Passion this morning is I want to read these words to you. And what are the cravings of the self-life that I'm referring to? They are obvious. Sexual immorality, lustful thoughts, pornography, chasing after things instead of God, manipulating others, hatred of those who get in your way, senseless arguments, resentment when others are favored, temper tantrums, angry quarrels, only thinking of yourself, being in love with your own opinions, being envious of the blessings of others, murder, uncontrolled addictions, wild parties, and other similar behavior. I don't know about you, but I find it far easier to relate to the words in the Passion Translation when it talks about the stuff that we should be not doing. Because I think the words in there are things that we can relate to. Things that we see daily. There are things in this list that the world would say are okay. There are things in this list that I see daily on Facebook. There are things on this list that I hear daily in the playground. There are things in this list that my friends struggle with. There are things in this list that I struggle with. There are things in this list that the person sat next to you struggles with. And there are things in this list that you struggle with. And freedom in Christ says we don't have to struggle with those things. Because it's not beating you with a stick of legalism and a stick of law. It's freedom from that law. The Holy Spirit helps us to deal with all of these things. The Holy Spirit comes into us and says, I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to fight with you. You know, it says a few passages earlier, it says that there are two conflicting things within us. There is the self-life and there is the Holy Spirit. And however much we struggle with the self-life, we can have the Holy Spirit to help us fight that fight with us. And the Holy Spirit can enable us to defeat those things that we struggle with, because the Holy Spirit was sent by God. I will send you another so that you'll never be alone. So that the Holy Spirit will lead you, will equip you, will strengthen you to live the life that God wants you to have. There's a warning about the freedom we get and not using our freedom to do those things. But he doesn't end it there. He says, but I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you deal with those things that you struggle with. He says, walking by the Spirit and don't gratify the desires of the flesh. Or to put it another way, when the Holy Spirit leads us, when the Holy Spirit is our voice of reason, our Holy Spirit, you maybe some of us, it might feel like it's a gut instinct. But I tell you what, if you're a Christian, it's the Holy Spirit convicting you and helping you and teaching you how to live. That gut feeling when your friends are going out to get drunk and you think, shall I join them? That gut feeling that says, oh, that doesn't sit right, is the Holy Spirit saying, I got a better way for you to live and I'm going to help you. When you're so angry with someone that you just want to lash out and that feeling says, it's okay, we can calm this down. The Holy Spirit is there guiding us. When you're struggling with addiction and the temptation is there, the Holy Spirit is in us going, I'm going to be there with you. You can do it. You don't need to do it again. I'm going to help you. I don't know what issues you deal with when you're deciding what to watch and you know you shouldn't be watching it, but you want to watch it. The Holy Spirit says, I'm here with you. When you're debating on what you look at on your phone, on the internet, and the Holy Spirit says, I'm with you and I'm going to help you. When you're debating on having a little gossip about your friend behind the back, the Holy Spirit says, you don't have to do that. I'm with you. When you're frustrated because you're struggling to put a meal on the table and you see people around you that are wasting their money, and the Holy Spirit says, don't worry, because I'm with you and God will provide. Whatever you're struggling with, the freedom that comes from Christ is a freedom to live away from those things that you struggle with. Can you relate to any of those? So we're not led by a list of rules and regulations. And sometimes in your mind, it feels like that. When you read this list out, you feel like, well, this is just a new list. But it's not a new list. Because I know in my life that the days when I didn't do the right thing, that Jesus was there to forgive me straight away. And I know that for you, whether you've sinned 7 or 70 times 7, that Jesus says, it's okay, I'm going to forgive you and I'm going to help you next time. You see, the Holy Spirit helps us to resist temptation. It helps us to live a life that is better than the life we could have without the Holy Spirit. And when we do that, and when we live with the Holy Spirit, then he gives us everything we need. And it goes on in that passage, and I'm not going to read the whole thing. It says, but the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all of its varied expressions, joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit. Never set the law above these qualities, for these are meant to be limitless. I don't know whether I always live like the peace that the Holy Spirit brings is limitless. It doesn't always feel like it's limitless. Sometimes it feels like I've only got so much of it and I'm going to lose my patience and I'm going to flip my lid and I'm going to shout at the kids. And especially on a Sunday morning when I'm trying to get stuff together and we're trying to get everyone in the car and we're trying to get Josiah to put his shoes on and Grace hasn't done her teeth yet. And then Josiah needs a nappy changing, And it doesn't always feel like I've got a limitless supply of peace. It doesn't always feel like I've got a limitless supply of kindness. Sometimes it feels like I'm losing that. But the Holy Spirit says that I can give you a limitless supply of these things. I was thinking about the words to this song. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I belong to you. You're the reason that I live. You're the reason that I sing with all I am. You know, freedom in Christ means that not just freedom from the things that we shouldn't do, but it means actually when I have freedom, I have that desire to just be closer to God than I could ever be. I just have that desire to be closer to Jesus every day. Freedom in Christ means that with the Holy Spirit, I want to know God more. I want to know Jesus more. Jesus, I believe in you. You're the reason that I live. Not the other things that we've talked about, but Jesus, you are the reason that I get up every day. You're the reason that I get up and I get dressed. You're the reason that I get out of the house. You're the reason that I am who you made me to be. You're the reason that I do what I do every day. Is that something that you feel when you get up? You know, if we've received Jesus, if we've accepted what Jesus did when he died on the cross, then we've already experienced crucifixion. For everything connected with ourselves, all that list of stuff that we struggle with, all the laws, all the sin was put to death on the cross by Jesus. And Jesus says, the Holy Spirit, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit and he will guide you. And he says that we never need to be arrogant. We never need to look down on other people because each of us is unique. Each of us is the person that God has made us to be. It says that we must forsake all jealousy that diminishes the value of others. Jesus, I believe in you because you have made me and you have made me unique. And I don't need to compare myself. I don't need to feel like I'm not as good as other people because Jesus says, I've made you for who you are. And that's enough. And Christ is enough for you. And the Holy Spirit is enough for you. And no matter what you're struggling with, the Holy Spirit is there to help you. So what does it mean to find freedom in Christ? It means that we no longer have to worry about living according to a list of rules. A list of rules that are so long that we could never follow them all. It means that we no longer have to be slaves to the world. We no longer have to be slaves to culture and the way that the world does things. We no longer have to be slaves to the world's view, the world's opinions. It means that we no longer have to be slaves to sin. Freedom means that we have the Holy Spirit helping us to fight our battles. Freedom means that the Holy Spirit can strengthen us, can equip us, can help us every day. What does freedom in Christ mean? Freedom in Christ means that we can have the fruit of the Spirit. That peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness. All of those things. We can have those because we have freedom in Christ. So I want to ask you a question as you sit here. I want to ask you, how do you feel? Do you sit here and do you feel like someone who's free? Do you feel like the person that God has made you to be when he talks in this passage? Free from sin, free from slavery, strengthened and equipped by the Holy Spirit. Or do you sit here feeling heavy burdened? Do you feel like you're pulling a heavy weight? Or do you feel like you're light-footed with a spring in your step? It says in Matthew, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. As I draw this to a close this morning, I want to tell you that Jesus can take away those burdens. That true freedom comes through Jesus. And true freedom comes when we realize that Christ is enough for me. That I belong to Jesus. That I'm a child of God. Jesus, I surrender. Humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. Oh, to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken. Humbly at his feet.